No vicar? I thought he'd say the vicar. Lucas and Noel, we're sad to see you go, but so thankful that you're answering God's call in your life. Ministry is bittersweet, isn't it? Because people you love, God moves them on. But I just feel led before we dive in here. I just feel led to say to every one of you and to my wife and I included, who knows what 2018 will bring? We make our plans, right? We're already trying, my company, oh my word, we're trying to map out every little thing that's going to happen in the coming year. And sometimes we do that with our lives, don't we? And yet God really, he's in control. And he might already, you might end up doing exactly what you feel that God is leading you to do in 2018, but you might not. And God might show you something completely different, right? You might be sitting here some morning and the word of God comes alive to you in a way and you are completely redirected. Amen? We need to be open to that and deviate from what we think is right because he knows what's best, right? And so I'm not saying we don't plan. We continue to plan, but we be open to the Lord. And it's, you know, the well is a, it's, you know, we're just a facilitator of what God is doing in your lives. It's all we are. We're not trying to build some name for ourselves. I think you know that if you've been here for at least 1 week. We believe that. But God, people come in and through the well, and we, those of us who've been here for many, many years, have this unique perspective of it just, we're in awe of God and who he has brought and who he has sent, you know, to the different parts of the world or the different parts of the U.S. or the different parts of our city. And it's beautiful, and it's such a blessing to just be part of a community that where people come, assimilate, and hear from the Lord, and be instructed about where they're to go and what they're to do with their lives, and it's just a blessing. Sorry, it's beautiful, and I'm thankful for that. And just be open to what God might have for you this year. I do want to say I didn't see Hawaii on that map, and I'm very offended by that. Was it on the map? God is good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your goodness and your grace to each one of us. Lord, thank you for Lucas and Noel and their obedience to you. Going out into the unknown, Lord, and Lord, you will use them in a mighty way. We thank you, God, that you know exactly how you're going to use them and who you're going to reach and what you're going to do, Lord, not only in Saudi Arabia, but in all of the Middle East. God, thank you, Lord, that we can send them with love and with joy and with prayers and support, Lord. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone that is in this room. Lord, you've sovereignly ordained to be here this morning, each and every one of us, Lord. And God, we open our hearts to you this morning, not to hear from me, but Lord, to hear from you, from your word. Thank you that your word is preeminent this morning, that you, Lord, will take the focal point. Lord, may I slip away unnoticed, and may you be glorified, as is always our prayer here at the well, Lord. We love you and we praise you. We commit this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let me just get a drink of water here. Well, so much for the opening. Yeah, this is a blessing to dive into these verses. I want to say this. I said it last time. Remember, the last time I spoke, it was a miracle, and I was done in less than 30 minutes. And remember that CJ said I could take that time, or whoever, whichever elder it was, I could take that time that I didn't use and add it on to this message, right? Who's got plans, say, at 1? Who's got plans? Okay, 12:30. Is there some sort of athletic event on television at this time?
Actually, no, you're going to witness yet another miracle. I'm full manuscript, so I'm basically reading through my message, and it might even be shorter than the last time. This might be 28 minutes. Are you ready? I did have some significant deviation that I wanted to take, but I decided not to. But another time, we'll talk about my new book, Sermons from Songs of the 70s. We do have one 70s song reference in here, because for me, there's plenty of that, the greatest decade of music. Wouldn't you all agree? Amen. Or as the Bee Gees would say, amen. All right, let's dive in. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12. Two things that mark the lives of New Testament Christians: the purity of their lives and the love that they had for one another. The Apostle Paul is addressing both of these here in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And after wrapping up his exhortation and warnings regarding sexual purity, he moves on to brotherly love and what that might look like for the believers and for us as well. Now concerning brotherly love, I'll read the passage and we'll dissect. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. At a surface read of this text, Paul's meaning is actually quite simple. In summary, Paul's in effect saying that in order to walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one, we must do the following: love one another, live quietly, mind your own affairs, and work with your hands. Well, there you go. God bless you. Happy New Year. Thanks for coming. Actually, there's more for us to see in these verses, so let's take a closer look, shall we? There are many New Testament exhortations toward brotherly love. Let's read a few. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. The Greek word translated here as brotherly love is Philadelphia. Hence, it's Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This is the kind of love that one has for a sibling, but in context, it's the kind of love that brothers and sisters in Christ are called to extend to one another as one in the family of God. The word Philadelphia, translated into English as brotherly love, differs from agape love in that we're all called to extend the agape love of God to all men, simply giving what we have received from God, undeserved, unmerited love. Our verses again. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Here in verse 9 and the first half of verse 10, Paul's in effect saying, we didn't even need to teach you. God taught you. So that's really interesting, and it differs dramatically from what Paul said earlier in this chapter in verses 1 through 3. Let me read those. This is chapter 4, 1 through 3. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And he goes on. So contrast that with what he says now. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves
have been taught by God to love one another. So what does he mean, taught by God to love one another? Which, by the way, this is found only here in all of the New Testament, this idea of being taught by God. John 6:45 says, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. John 2:27 says, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Wasn't that amazing? They were loving one another like brothers and sisters, not because Paul instructed them to do so, but because God himself moved them to action. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 2:13. This reminds me of Philippians 2:13, which says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's my prayer for us all this year. In this idea that we might not know exactly what God is calling us to do, his will be worked within us. He's going to work in us and cause us to desire certain things that are in line with his will, and will act according to his good pleasure. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's what they were doing. Okay, let's be honest with ourselves this morning and answer this question. Does extending brotherly love to our brothers and sisters in Christ come easy for us? Or are we in need of encouragement and instruction in this area to love our brothers and sisters? Because it doesn't just come easy for us. Does it come easy? Reminds me of a song from the 70s.
Hello, Eric. It's okay if you use my 1971 song. It don't come easy.
Yes, Ringo Starr, ladies and gentlemen. It don't come easy. I thought about playing just the first, but I won't. But you can read all about it in my book, Sermon Songs from the 70s, coming out in 2019. So some. If you're new, I'm just kidding. Don't look for that book. You know, I think the obvious answer is no, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy for us. And yes, we do need to be encouraged in this area. Amen? Where's the best place to find encouragement? God's Word, Galatians 6:9 and 10 say this. And let us not grow weary of doing well. Some of us need to hear that this morning. Just that. Let us not grow weary of doing well. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, Paul says to the Galatians, and especially, though, he says, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 John 4:21 says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It doesn't come natural for most of us. For some of you, it does. For my wife, it does. I'm not trying to single her out. For my wife, it's just a natural thing. She just cares about people. It's amazing. It doesn't come natural. But for most of us, we need to be intentional, don't we, about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving our brothers and sisters should be a natural outflow of our union with Christ, who loves us unconditionally. But we need to be intentional, or we will automatically default to simply loving those who love us. But most of all, our default is loving ourselves. Notice that Paul doesn't specify which brothers and sisters in Christ we're to love. That's because all brothers and sisters are included. You notice that Paul doesn't say, love one another, but especially those whom you have the most in common with. We all need the body of Christ and all that it has to offer in the way of our differences. Whether we're young or old, married or unmarried, whether we're blessed to have children or we don't have children, we all have something to offer each other. Amen. Single people need to be around, they need to have the opportunity to be around married couples in order to see what a Christ-like marriage looks like. Parents with young children need to be around those parents whose children are grown and have been through the ups and downs of parenting. Young kids and teenagers need the opportunity to be around other families other than their own that love Jesus so that they can see the same values and convictions manifested beyond their own family, which serves to ensure that they're not swayed by the many voices of rebellion they might hear at school or in the culture. Yeah, I'm looking at you guys. Even though you're not looking at me. No. I won't name names, Ashton. No, did I say? Whoops. I meant to say, I won't name names, but his initials are Ashton. No, I'm just kidding, just kidding. The older folks among us deserve to be honored and valued in various ways, just as Scripture commands. They need to have an opportunity to share the wealth of wisdom and experience. If they're only asked or given the opportunity, they'll do that. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Reading on, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. And what does Paul say? Great, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Sounds like my CEO. Give me more sales, Eric, more sales. Paul's saying, do it more. Do it more. See, the brothers throughout Macedonia were primarily in three churches that we know of. The church at Philippi, the church at Berea, and the church here in Thessalonica. So, let's be honest, they must have at least done something, I'd say the following, in the area of expressing. What did the expressing of brotherly love look like for them to extend to those other churches? I would say this. First of all, they probably assessed the needs of their brothers and sisters. Step one, right? What do they need? Isn't that brilliant? Figure out what somebody needs. Then what? Make a plan as to how to help meet their needs. Thirdly, execute the plan to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. They were clearly doing that, right? And Paul was saying, hey, do it more. Couldn't we do the same thing? Pretty easily, right? But the only way we'll ever do that is if we actually look outside of ourselves and see where the needs are. Amen? But doing the same as our brothers and sisters in Thessalonica were doing, requires intentionality on our parts. It also requires ongoing selflessness, which is a challenge for us all. Or is it just me? But a necessary part of the sanctifying work that God will do in each of us as we seek His help in doing more to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, right here at the Well Community Church and beyond. Okay, reading on. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Aspire to live quietly. Interesting. What does he mean by that? Well, in our context, I think he would say living respectfully among others and not using Facebook as a platform. I think that's what Paul would be saying, right? Just not being known as that loudmouth Christian. Let our lives speak for ourselves. Earn the right to be heard by unbelievers. Amen? We need to earn the right to be heard. Aspire to mind your own affairs. What is he saying here? I'm sure some of the same things that were going on in the church in Thessalonica, people getting involved with things that they shouldn't be involved with, being nosy or you know, busybodies. It says, don't be nosy. Don't get involved where you shouldn't be involved or where you haven't been invited to be involved. Amen? This applies to us, don't you think? But he even said aspire. He said aspire once, but I'm applying it to all three of these things. Aspire to live quietly. Aspire to mind your own affairs. Aspire to work with your hands. What? You know, we shouldn't, none of us should avoid hard work as though we're too good for it, too educated for it, or we've already done enough of it. Amen? In context there, the Greeks were a lot more into thoughts and philosophy and they looked down on menial labor. We as believers can fall into that, right? We are called to serve, and oftentimes serving means using our hands. And we have plenty of opportunities here to serve at the well. So we can't avoid hard work. None of us are too good for that. Dr. Jeffrey Weima, W-E-I-M-A, says this about the Apostle Paul. It is commonly assumed that Paul won converts by preaching in the marketplaces. Street corner evangelism is one. Nevertheless, there is good evidence his missionary work took place in the workshop and the private home. We can picture the apostle in Thessalonica laboring in a local shop, perhaps one owned by Jason, as recorded in Acts 17, verse 5, during the long hours at his workbench, cutting and sewing leather to make tents. Paul would have had opportunities to share the gospel with fellow workers, customers, and other citizens who were interested in this tent maker / philosopher newly arrived in the city. So why is Paul giving these exhortations? Well, his answer to that, he answers that question in the very last verse this morning. So that all these things, brotherly love. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that. Why all this, Paul? So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Our lives are on display among unbelievers in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, and wherever we go. I love 2 Corinthians 3:2. Listen to this. Some of you might already have it memorized. You yourselves, Paul says to the Corinthians, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on your hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I also love 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Ultimately, here is Paul's point of these verses, and it's summarized brilliantly by another commentator that we are studying from, James H. Grant Jr. Listen to what he says. If we live in a way that reflects brotherly love, it will be obvious to the people that we come in contact with in our culture. We will not have to loudly proclaim our faith to outsiders, but they will see our lives. They will see our lives. In the city of Thessalonica, everyone would have noticed the change of the lives in these Christians. They didn't participate in religious ceremonies and sexual immorality at pagan temples. They didn't cheat each other or strangers. They worked hard. They took care of each other. And they loved each other. If you want your faith to be evident to those around you, Paul says, live in this sacrificial way a way that reflects the love of Jesus to other people. And in closing, I'd like to read from verse 1 of chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how straightforward you are in your word and how your word, Lord, spoken through Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, Lord, that it speaks to us even this morning, even on this last day of 2017 here at the Well Community Church. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your word. Thank you, Lord, for exhorting us. And Lord, we pray that we could open our eyes to the needs of our brothers and sisters around us, the needs of that outsiders might have, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we could meet the needs of our brothers and sisters and be a great example to those who are watching us. Lord, we pray that our lives would bring you glory in this coming year and the years ahead as we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.